Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Chuck.
This is Craig.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, the podcast that's happy to welcome Chuck back to the show. Took a week off, but it's happy. It's great to see you back here, Chuck.
Woo!
Thanks, guys.
We were Chuckless.
Oh, it's
we
good
were
to be back.
Yeah. It was that hole in our heart has been filled. Today, we are going to be talking about that event that is the geek mecca of all meccas, San Diego Comic-Con. We'll be looking at some of the news that dropped, some of all that great stuff that was going on. Give our opinions on that. But before we get to that, how's the week been going for you guys?
Pretty good. I guess kind of boring in a way, I don't know. But this week in particular, but the week I was off was very exciting because my special assignment that you so aptly alluded to on Facebook was actually my vacation at the beach. So it was a special assignment.
I wish we all had that same special assignment.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to share it with you guys, but I didn't have enough room in my luggage, so. Yeah, it was cool. We ended up going to Wildwood, New Jersey, which is one of my favorite places for whatever reason. I just really like the boardwalk there and everything. But I had a good time. I think the thing I most enjoyed probably was, like, taking a break from my diet and enjoying some of the good food down there. It was pretty awesome. We got to go on to this big, like, pasta house that was, like, awesome, and this old, like, 50s themed diner, like, burger joint, which is pretty awesome. It was kind of like a jump back in time. They had, like, everything was, like, retro in the place, like, everything old school.
So they made an entire house out of pasta. I feel like that's one of the houses, like, the Three Little Pigs used, and did not turn out well for them.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was a big place, actually. Like, there's, like, a ton of tables in it and stuff. And, like, obviously, with, like, a tourist town, like, they get a lot of business. But, yeah, there was a lot of people there, and everybody enjoyed it. We were that family. Like, we had the huge table in the back. There was, like, 9 of us. but it was fun, though. It was pretty cool. Another cool thing we got to do was we actually went on a dolphin tour, but it wasn't an ordinary dolphin tour. It was a speedboat
dolphin tour.
Not quite, but it was a speedboat tour, which is,
so you try to run them over.
Yeah. I don't even have to say it just sounds awesome. But we were on this huge boat that's, like, I forget, it's like almost 70 feet long, and it holds like 100 people, and it's got this huge, like, 2,000 horsepower motor on it. And the guy was saying, like, the captain was saying, it's the fastest boat in the world that will hold, you know, this many people. We're kind of cruising, like, we actually go out into the ocean, and we're, like, kind of cruising up and down looking for dolphins. At first we didn't see any, and, you know, he's like, pushing the throttle up, and we're cooking across the water, like, we're going pretty fast, and it was, just that was a lot of fun. And we ended up going, like, down the beach far the other way, and all of a sudden we found, like, a ton of dolphins. There was, like, pods of them, like, all over the place. Like, we probably saw, like, about 15 different ones just, like, all around the boat and everything. And they actually got pretty close to us, and, like, a couple of them had, like, little babies, which was pretty cool. I've never seen that before, so it was really neat. They kind of come up out of the water to check you out, which is pretty cool. But and then after we were done checking those out and taking pictures and everything, he kind of, like, went back, like, he went further into the ocean a little bit and then just, like, floored it. Like, just pushed the throttle like all the way down. We were flying, like the front of the boat's way up in the air, and we're just tearing across the water. It was so much fun. And all I could think of was like Ricky Bobby. I'm like, I want to go fast. It was just so much fun. And then he kind of like, he swerves the boat back and forth. And what happens is like, he's kind of hitting the wake a little bit and the water splashes up over the sides. So we got absolutely drenched, and it was just like a really fast ride at a water park or something. It was just awesome. So that was kind of one of the highlights of the trip. But yeah, overall, had a great time. It was a good time to unwind and get off my diet a little bit, like I said. So
nice. I also went to the beach, but it was not so luxurious. We went to a lake beach. But you know.
The fake beach.
Yeah, you know, it's where they had to bring the sand in, like they had to ship it in to, like, it was like this like man-made beach. It was nice, it was fine, it was enjoyable. It's been so freaking hot here. It's been like, you know,
yeah,
upper 90s, 100 degrees. We had like the hottest day ever, so it was just good to get cool off a little bit. But Greg, how things going with you?
Interesting right now, because as we got on Skype, I got something that I haven't had in a while, a random person trying to contact me on Skype. So here we go, people. I'm just going to give part of their name, username. It's Doom. I'm Greg, as you know. So Doom. Hello. Hello. Who is this? Doom. Hello to you too. Me. How's it going? Doom. Hey, thanks for adding me. Found your username on the Skype directory. You single?
Sorry, not good already.
I know. Me. Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. You? Doom. Well, either way, it's okay with me, tongue sticking out face. I'm recently single, and I just wanted someone to chat with. Can I ask you something? Me. Ask away. Doom. Do you like submissive girls? Like the type of girls that want the man to take control? Me, I do not know. I've never been with a submissive girl. Doom, laugh out loud. Good. I like that. Apparently she likes it when guys have no idea what's going on. Here's a selfie. I took this pic in the car today. Smiley face. And I'm not going to click on that link. Even though it's Imgur, I don't think Imgur's too bad, but I'm not going to click on it. But that's like, the conversation.
Here's a virus.
So far.
Here you go. You know.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not going to click on it. I'm just going to continue on the conversation and pretend like, oh, wow, that's nice.
Then you write, I got a virus from your picture. And she's like, I love that.
That.
Yeah, you should.
A virus. You guys continue on with the stories. That's all that's been really going on in my life. It's been boring. Dan, what have you been up to?
Not much. Like I said, we went on a little day trip to a lake, met up with some friends. That was fun. It was like man-made. I don't know if I would call it a lake, because I feel like if you're on one end and I can see like the entire thing, look, I feel like that's just a glorified pond, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a pond.
Yeah, so it was nice, though. It was, they had, like, different, high dives and swings and stuff like that. I did none of that. I'm like, that's not, I'm just going to not do any of that. But besides that,
just it's like, I'm a father now. I'm not allowed.
So,
I just would.
Were you able to get Connor in the water at all, or just kind of get his feet wet at all?
Oh, yes, he loves the water. He'll goes right in, and he'll crawl along, or like he'll try to run in it, and like he loves it too much. We'll like just try to dive head first in, and like, no, you can't do that. But he loves the water, so
nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So that was a good time. But besides that, just keeping up with all the Comic-Con news, and I did catch up with a movie, and oddly we didn't plan it, but we all ended up seeing the same film at different times, and that was, but you, I think you guys saw an actual in theaters, if I'm not mistaken, that's Batman the Killing Joke.
Yes.
Yeah, so we all checked that out, and I know we've been talking about it, somewhat anticipating, but I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say, knowing you saw it in the actual theater when I just saw it on my at my home screen. What was that experience like?
I thought it was pretty cool. I think Greg made the comment that he was surprised at my reveal because I said this was actually the first animated feature that I've ever seen in the theater in my life.
Really?
Yes. Yes. First animated movie of any kind that I've ever seen in the theater. Which is hard to believe, definitely. But so I was excited about it, but I enjoyed it a lot. I think like the, you know, having it just one night in there kind of made it feel like it was like this special event type of thing. But I like the little bit of extra stuff they kind of give you with like the little the interview in the beginning with Mark Hamill and like the little mini documentary thing at the end and everything. I thought those were some nice touches. Kind of makes it a little bit more interesting and everything. I still can't believe when I, you know, look at Mark Hamill and see him doing the voice. It just, I can't picture that coming out of him. It's just crazy. Just watching him sort of work is pretty crazy. But, you know, obviously bringing him back and Kevin Conroy, the two iconic voices that we're both used to with Batman and the Joker. I thought they did a great job. I thought Mark Hamill was really on point. It was kind of weird, though, because there was a couple of times where Kevin Conroy seemed a little bit off. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it was just the animation throwing me off because it was a little bit different, but or maybe it was mostly just the final scene when he was laughing that seemed like really awkward to me.
that was very...
Because, like, well, it's just the fact that Kevin Conroy has never laughed on screen as Batman before, so it's like, it was just really awkward to hear, but I felt like maybe he doesn't have that much practice at it, so, but obviously the Mark Hamill laugh was a lot better, but everything was, I shouldn't say everything, but most of the stuff was pretty much taken right off the page of the graphic novel. There was, you know, the one major part in the beginning was kind of a new addition that they threw in there, but everything with the actual Killing Joke story was, like, kind of peeled right off the page, like, right down to the colors of the outfits people were wearing and the two guys that sort of recruited the Joker to pull the heist like way back in the day. You know, even I was kind of looking in the graphic novel and those guys even looked the same. You know, there's one thin guy and one heavier guy. And like, they did a lot of stuff that they just kind of yanked it right off the paper and put it back on there. And they really did a good job.
It was like the audio version of a comic book in a way, or, you know, audiovisual,
right,
book on tape, but with a comic book. Yeah, it was. I had actually at one point I'm like, I brought out my actual copy of The Killing Joke, and I was following along, and I'm like, wow, this is legitimately like a bedtime story that's being read to me.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. But the thing is, that's the way a lot of the DC ones are too. Like, you know, it's even the dialogue; it's just pulled like verbatim. Yeah, I was extremely pleased with it. I guess there's no really spoilers because most everybody's pretty much read that story by now. But I don't know. What did you guys think?
Greg, you want to go first? Or are you busy with your spammer, your Skype spammer?
Yeah, it's getting pretty funny now. I just have to think of things to respond back. But yeah, I thought it was really good. It's definitely one of those ones, like Chuck said, with how DC does their animated stuff where it's kind of verbatim. There are some changes here and there, I thought, with how little I remember of the Killing Joke graphic novel. But I thought it was really well done. There were some things that were kind of weird, like the upfront whole thing with Barbara Gordon. There was a front load of information about Barbara Gordon at the beginning to kind of set her up and kind of get compassion for her before the deed is done. Just disappointed that they did not show any good bits on Barbara Gordon during the creepy rape scene. Damn.
Yeah, that's what we want to see, an animated sex scene.
Yeah, well, I wanted to see Joker dick, quite personally. But yeah. Bulger. What's that?
Whitey Bulger?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that whole scene on the rooftop, I thought it was pretty creepy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's...
With Batman and Batgirl.
Yeah, that's kind of getting a lot of attention, I noticed, before, like, around right when it got released. So, with the adaptations that are so dead on faithful to the comic, it kind of makes me wonder, okay, what is the purpose of this? Like, why are we making a movie out of this if we're legitimately for just doing almost like a shot for shot remake? And you don't see it that often, because usually they do have to change things, adjust things. But with this, with it only being a one-shot issue, they decided, okay, let's add in this additional like 30 minutes pre-story about Batgirl. And I kind of like the idea of that, like okay, let's make her more than a victim in the story. Let's try to get some more sympathy for her, or give her more of an arc for this entire storyline of the Killing Joke. And that idea makes sense. I just don't know how well it was executed. I think the two stories like work better individually than they do together. And there's an epilogue at the end, and it just felt, it didn't work as well. Like, it felt unearned, not unearned, but it didn't have the progression or the arc that I think it thought it did when it came to Barbara Gordon's character or Batgirl's, like, from seeing her from one spot to the next. Because those two stories were so disconnected, I think, like the Batgirl story and the Killing Joke story, that
there was like no segue, no transition at all. Like, it's like this one ends and then the next one starts. Like,
they could have been just completely separate movies in a way. Like, it almost was like an anthology film, you know, where it's like, okay, here's a short story, here's another one. And by trying to give it an arc at the end, it just didn't, because she, you know, as we know, she becomes Oracle and what that means. But it seemed like they were trying to see, like, okay, the entire theme of her character was, her overcoming or coming to understanding of who she is and what her place is. And I think what we see through the comics is, you know, she becomes Oracle, and even though she loses her ability to walk, she still finds value in herself and what she can accomplish. But in the movie, we don't really see that. We just see that, okay, she's Oracle, and okay, you know what happens from here on out. But I don't think that was really delivered, like, in the movie itself, because the Barbara Gordon that was in the Killing Joke did not feel like the same one that was in the story that came before. So I didn't feel like it really made that all fleshed out all that well.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think I also made the comment to Greg that I thought that that first story with Batgirl, I thought was really a little bit too long, because I was kind of sitting there like myself, and I'm wondering, like, how is this tying into the Joker story? I'm like, okay, I'm like, does this guy work for the Joker? I'm like, what are they aiming at here? Like, what are they trying to do? And you're almost like, it feels like you're almost like halfway through the movie, and it's like there's nothing about the Joker yet. And I'm like, okay, well, they're creating suspense. They're gonna, you know, somehow this is all gonna be weaved together, and it's gonna, you know, work out well. But it doesn't. It just sort of like ends, and then the next segment picks up. And I thought it was a little jarring, I thought, but, you know, once I got to the actual Killing Joke story, I was very happy with that. But like you said, it did add a little bit of depth to the Batgirl character, but it was just so like that step down was so jarring. Like, you know, I didn't expect them to be two completely different stories. I thought they were going to be kind of woven together a little bit somehow. But
what do you guys think of the animations being, since this is like a direct to DVD Blu-ray movie, but it being in a theater, did the animations still translate fine? Like, did it seem like it was not up to par compared to other movie standards?
No, I think it was exactly how it's always been with DC animated stuff. Really well done. It's not like there's any extra detail to it, since it's a movie that's coming out in theaters as opposed to TV. It's just what you see on the TV, but bigger. And I think they always had a great quality of animation over at DC.
Yeah, I guess for Chuck, it's hard for you, since this was the first movie you ever saw in theaters to compare it to anything. But
I wasn't sure, honestly, how the animation would show up on the big screen. Like, I wasn't sure if it would be clean and crisp, or if it would be a little blurry or anything, just having never seen it before. But I don't know. I thought it was pretty crisp. I enjoyed it a lot. So, you know, once you kind of get into the story, I really didn't even think of the fact that it was an animated movie. You just kind of like wrapped up in it. So
The only thing I don't like about it, and it's not just the Killing Joke, it's, I feel like it, this is, you see this with animation in general nowadays, especially like any hand-drawn, or is when they like have all the vehicles in CG, and how 9 times out of 10 they just look so awful. I'm just please stop doing that. Just draw the vehicles. That'd be
good. Yeah. I don't know why. A little wonky, but I thought it was a lot better than I've previously seen in other movies.
It was much better than, like, what was the last one they did?
Whatever the last one is, I remember that just being terrible. I just know it was terrible. I don't even remember what the movie was, but I know it was bad.
I guess it's a lot cheaper and easier to do than hand-draw them, but it's just, I don't know. It always looks so bad.
Especially the organic, like people, clothing, more organic shapes and everything.
Yeah. I think one of the first shows, if not the first animated shows to do the mix of the art and the CGI was the Spider-Man animated series.
Yeah.
I remember watching a segment about that, and they said they were kind of the front runner in trying that stuff out. And you could tell, like, with some of the skyline and the cities where they would pan out, like it was kind of CG and stuff like that. But this one, for whatever reason, seemed really obvious. Like, it was just for something that's like, we're, you know, 15 years further down the road in technology, I thought it would be a little bit smoother, I guess, or 20 years, whatever the hell we are, I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I think it's especially when you have a lot of it that is so very much out of the comic, like a lot of the art style, they legitimately take panels and put it on screen almost like verbatim. And then when you have like a CGI truck go through, it just seems weird. It's like that doesn't seem to flow as well. So
I think, and I noticed this a lot too. Like it's usually the way the vehicle like steers, like the way they turn, just looks really, really awkward. Like, you know, even the motorcycle when she spun around, and like some of the trucks, I'm like, okay, that looks fake. It just looks like a terrible simulation from some like horrendous software program or something. I don't know. I don't know why they can't get that to look smoother.
Yeah, I agree. So would you guys say, looking at DC Animated, would you put this in their top echelon with, I think, I know for me, like Under the Red Hood, and it's still one of the best. Would you put it up that high, or is it more kind of just average? Or
yeah, I think I would agree with it. I think like the Red Hood for me is still like that's kind of the bar. That was probably my favorite one. You know, I also liked the one with Darkseid and Supergirl. I thought that one I liked a lot. So I mean, this one I'd probably put like, I'd probably put it in the top five, I think, you know, but I might have it more towards the bottom of that top five, though.
Yeah. What you saying?
Yeah, I think I'm with Chuck. I wouldn't put it up way too high, like in the top three or anything, but it's definitely like maybe just making it into the top five or just outside of it, maybe. It was good. I liked it, but I wasn't like super impressed by it.
Yeah, for me, it's probably more middle of the road in the sense of, you know, what works for the Killing Joke works for the Killing Joke because it pretty much is verbatim of that story. But what it tries to add to it, I think, doesn't work as well. So for me, when I wouldn't put it, if you count Dark Knight Returns as one movie and then another Red Hood, and I think it's, is that Justice League Apocalypse? Is that the one with Darkseid?
Yes.
That one I like, and the other one with the alternate universe Justice League where like Owlman and stuff like that.
I think it's a Crisis on Two Earths or something like that. That's
cool. Flashpoint Paradox. Yeah, and so, which we'll probably talk about again coming over with Comic-Con stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was good. It was, I think, better than a lot of the New 52 stuff they were doing, but I was hoping for a little bit more, but still solid. Much better than anything Marvel's doing when it comes to if they're even doing anything animated movies anymore, I guess. Yeah. But, all right. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about before we take a quick break?
Nope.
All righty.
I got to update you. Hold on.
Oh, all right. We got Skype Watch going on. Skype Watch 2016.
What did I leave off at?
You were responding to her, letting her know that you got a virus from her photo.
Okay, yeah. So, me. I've gotten a virus from opening that picture up. Doom. Pics are old school. I like to do cam to cam. Smiley face. I'm online right now. Another link. I'm the main girl you see there typed to me on the right hand side of my video. Me. Pictures are also works of the devil. Hail Satan. Ooh, a cam. Thank you for more computer sabotaging. Doom. Pics are old school. He. It's the same thing again. And so then I type back just gibberish.
Yeah.
And then I get, Doom, I'm a little freak, Angel Smiley. If I send a dirty one, promise not to show anyone? Me. I promise, of course. Doom, okay, I had a few glasses of wine here. Laugh out loud. Tongue sticking out. Another JPEG imager site that I'm not clicking on. Me. Oh, yeah, those fake glasses of wine really drop those fake inhibitions for fake people. Doom, nothing about this is fake. I'm a nympho. Ever met one? Me. Seriously, everything about this is fake. I've had others attempt to try and get me to their cams and use my credit card to get on that, and I only have to use to verify my age, but then I get fucked in the ass.
Well, there you go. That's... How do they do that through the computer? Seems technology nowadays.
One is of those, that how you get the virus?
I guess so. I don't know.
It's funny that she's like, don't tell anyone. You're on a cam site. You just said you were on a cam.
Yeah, I know. It's open for everybody to see.
It's probably one of those automatic response websites with the robotic, like with artificial intelligence that responds to whatever you type.
Yeah. I know.
Not even a real person.
But, like a Siri.
But does it pick up on certain words?
I would think so, because it picked up on fake, and it picked up on, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm just not sure if they're that advanced. Okay.
I think they are. My cousin showed me one time, and we were messing around with it for like half an hour, and it's actually pretty smart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you had that site that you clicked on or whatever.
Yeah, and you ask it like questions, and it gives you answers and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Some of them are off the wall, but it sounds like those are some of them are off the wall too. So.
Yeah. Okay. So she gets back, and she says, you know, you'd like to grab me by my little waist and use me, kissy face. Let's cam each other, babe. Are you on Fling Society? Me. You didn't read the last message, and that also proves you're fake. My username on there is badlover32. If you accept through my profile.
She has no self-esteem. Jeez.
If you accept through my profile, it's free since it's a girl-to-guy invite. Blah, 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 blah. And that's it so far. I'll update later with more goings-ons.
Skype Watch 2016. So there you go. All right, well, after that enjoyment, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about 2016 Comic-Con and all the news and happenings that were going on. We'll see you in a bit.
Thank you for calling Bee Harmony, the service that matches you with the podcast that best fits your interests and needs.
I really hope you could help me because I have had no luck finding the perfect movie podcast that gives me everything that I want.
Well, that's my job. What are you looking for in a podcast?
Well, it needs to be a movie podcast that covers old and new stuff, one that reviews movies, but also talks about movie news, discusses new trailers, and is willing just to have fun with some crazy movie games. Maybe even, you know, like the occasional top 10 countdown. Oh, and it's got to be a podcast that is willing at times to delve deep into the careers of notable directors and will speak to all movie fans, from the general audience to the hardcore cinephile.
Wow, well, that's quite a resume you're looking for. What are you thinking regarding schedule? Monthly, weekly, daily?
Weekly, of course.
All right, well, let me crunch these numbers in our patented podcast matrix to see what I can find for you. Wow, I don't believe it.
What is it?
We actually found the perfect match. This almost never happens.
Really? Well, dreams do come true. What is it?
It is the Cinema Geeks podcast, of course.
Well, that sounds perfect, but where can I hook up with such an awesome podcast?
Well, you can find it weekly on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastReader.com.
Awesome. Podcast marathon, here I come.
Another satisfied customer brought to you by P Harmony and the folks over at the Cinema Geeks podcast.
Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top three list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias, at InSessionFilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.
All right, and welcome back. Yesterday, we're going to be talking about Comic-Con 2016. A lot going on, a lot of news, so we're going to try to go through this as much as we can. We'll probably miss some stuff, but pick up on some stuff we really wanted to talk about. And so I think it makes sense to start in the realm of television. There's a, like, TV's kind of crazy. There's actually, I feel like TV and movies when it comes to geekdom is kind of evening out. Maybe we can focus first on the Netflix series. And we saw a lot of trailers for both Luke Cage and a short trailer for Iron Fist and a very short kind of trailer for Defenders. But what were you guys' thoughts in, regarding, you know, those series? Are you more excited for them, less excited for them after seeing the trailers?
Luke Cage, I'm definitely excited for. The music that they had going on with that, that looks like it's going to be action-packed awesomeness. Like, the music just got me amped up for it. I don't know what the music was, but it was awesome that went along with him. He was essentially just kind of like walking around. That was like, oh my God, this is going to be action packed. And there was no action. It was just him essentially walking and then kind of getting shot up and then a little bit beaten up and everything. But it looks pretty sweet. It wasn't too long of a trailer. The Iron Fist one, I had no idea what the hell was going on with that one, quite frankly. That one kind of left me confused.
Chuck?
Yeah, I'm excited for Luke Cage as well. I think that looks really interesting. I don't really know much about Iron Fist to begin with. I know very, very little. So that one will probably be, you know, I'll definitely check it out. But that'll be something that I'll have to sort of maybe be like an acquired taste or something, because I literally know nothing about that character. I've read like some Avengers comics that he was in, but I've never read any like Iron Fist like solo comics. So I'm not sure where that's coming from, but I thought the Defenders teaser was interesting. It sounded like Stick's voice in there, where he was saying, like, you four think you're going to save the city. So that was kind of interesting. Just in my head, quickly, I kind of brought up something about, like, all right, well, what happens to Elektra, you know, moving forward? Like, where is she at? Like, is it off the table that, you know, she's not going to be teaming up with Daredevil anymore? You know, is it just those four in the Defenders? So it kind of raised some questions for me. Like, also, I'm really interested to know how Jessica Jones would work in a team environment, because I don't see her as that type of character at all.
Yeah.
But maybe that's going to be a little bit of the charm of it. It's just kind of like having her adjust to that sort of setting. And, you know, it's probably going to be awkward with her and Luke Cage a little bit and stuff. So it raised a lot of questions for me, but it's definitely something I'm looking forward to. So,
yeah, I think too. Probably see. I'm thinking Jessica Jones will be in the Luke Cage show for maybe for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken. I guess we'll find out. I did like the Luke Cage trailer. I feel like it's now a necessity for all Netflix Marvel shows to have an awesome fight scene in a hallway, which is good to see.
Yeah.
I'm a little hesitant about the guy playing Luke Cage. I thought he did good in Jessica Jones, did well in Jessica Jones, but he's so understated. I just wonder if, like, I would be as invested in him. Like, will he have the personality to kind of keep that you need to kind of sustain an entire show? Maybe he will. I do like how they're handling the character, the look of it, you know, seeing him, like, with his shirt getting shot up a bunch of times and, like, you know, very comic book-esque in that way, and how they're using his powers, so that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. I am an Iron Fist fan. I've read a few of his comics, the Ed Brubaker run, which I would advise checking out. That's kind of a good launching off point for him. Currently reading the Iron Man and Power Fist series, which is a much different. It's more cartoony than anything going on here. Very much like more comedic version of their original selves. They're very much like wearing their like 70s clothes unironically, and so it's a good series, but I'm looking forward to that. I really, you know, Luke Cage is just around the corner. Defenders, there wasn't really much to go on, but I'm just glad it's happening. So I might actually be more excited for Defenders than I am the next Avengers movie. I don't know. They're kind of about even, but...
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I say that, but then I love Civil War, so maybe I'm just selling myself short on that.
Yeah. End.
So...
Do you think that they're going to try to cross over at all, or do you think they're just going to keep it at, like, the, you know, the scant references and just kind of, like, mentioning it once in a while?
I don't think they will have a crossover. The more and more it goes, the less likely I see it happening. I don't know. I feel like they just want to keep all that separated for whatever reason.
It's like totally different tones. It doesn't seem like it would fit.
But. Yeah. And also this, maybe the power set too, maybe they're too street level, but I'm fine with that. I mean, it kind of part of me like would want to see it, but it ended up being fine in Civil War. I guess we'll see it with Infinity War, how that works, but there's also other Marvel shows going on. And I know, Chuck, are you still keeping up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I think you were the only one that was watching it out of us.
Yeah, I kind of fell off. I would be lost now. I'm not really sure what's going on. But, you know, I don't know if you're going to, what you're alluding to, but I did see a big reveal of a character that's supposed to show up on that show.
That's exactly what I was going to. I'd be interested, like, would you guys, knowing that it was announced that Ghost Rider will be showing up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., does that entice you at all to kind of get back to it and maybe check it out and see how that goes?
Yes, but I'm still interested in it. I'm just behind on watching it, quite frankly. But adding an extra element of a character that's like one of the more top echelon characters kind of coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is definitely will add to the show, I think. It'll definitely add more interest back into the show and kind of give it an injection of fans, I think.
Chuck, what about you?
Yeah, I would definitely draw my interest back into that. I think for some reason Ghost Rider is sort of a intriguing character, and I was a little bit, you know, disappointed to say the least about the Nicolas Cage versions. The first one wasn't terrible. I mean, it wasn't good either by any means, but the second one I thought was just atrocious. But
yeah, that one was just, there were elements that I liked. I liked the look of Ghost Rider. Like, I thought, like, the, you know, he made him more comic book-esque, but everything else surrounding that movie was, yeah, not so good.
Yeah. And wasn't Idris Elba in that too?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he lost a bet or something like that, or he owed someone a favor.
I feel like they're like, let's just throw in some like huge name actors just to like get people to watch this, but then, you know, do a terrible script. But no, I like that character. I hope that they could finally get it right now. I don't know is it going to be all like entirely CG, I guess, or I mean, have they announced any actor that's playing? Is it Johnny Blaze or Danny Ketch? I don't even know.
It's the newest one, Robert Reyes, the guy he just became Ghost Rider, I think a couple years ago. I think not long before they did the Secret Wars story, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And he had like a drag. He didn't have a motorcycle. I thought he had like more of a like a car, like a race car, like a classic like muscle car.
He has a go kart.
He does. That would be.
I did see.
He has a moped.
I did see they revealed the car at the Comic-Con, which I was really, really excited about, because it looks a lot like Blade's car from the Wesley Snipes movie.
Yeah. So I don't know much about cars. I knew it was something of that, like that.
So it's like a Challenger muscle car kind of thing?
Yeah.
I think it's either Challenger or Charger, I forget, but it looks pretty freaking awesome. All black.
I would guess it'd have to be like a lot of CGI. That's what has me somewhat worried, because how well is that going to look? But, you know, with Flash and some of those shows, they've showed you can do pretty good CGI in a TV budget. I'm a little disappointed in the sense of, I really think, and like, I'd be much more interested in seeing a Ghost Rider character on a Netflix show or in his own Netflix show, just because of the that character. You know, he could be a rather dark character. He legitimately is a demon, but, you know, I guess they were trying to add some life into that show, and I'm glad they're actually getting a major... I guess Ghost Rider is not a major superhero, but at least one that's above an E-level character like Deathlok or something. So,
yeah, I could definitely do without the some of the overacting of one Nicolas Cage. Some of those scenes were pretty over the top with him transforming and stuff. Yeah, I'm not looking for humor when I go to see Ghost Rider.
So I'm glad they're kind of going with a different, because they trying just giving it to one of the newer characters, because Ghost Rider's, there's been a bunch of different ones, so I think it'd be kind of cool to do a Ghost Rider show, and you could do like the multiple storylines, because you have like the classic like Western Ghost Rider, and you could do stuff like that. But yeah, maybe one day. So. The other TV show I want to touch upon it real quick, because I know you guys didn't see the trailer, but I would highly recommend it, because I think a couple weeks ago we were talking about the Legion TV show, or how they were coming up with an X-Men TV show, and I'm like, I'm not that interested in the Legion TV show. That seems kind of dumb. Why would I care about it? But then I saw the trailer, and I'm like, wow, that looks really good. It's very different than what I was expecting. It looks nothing like the X-Men movies. It seems like it's kind of existing in its own realm. It feels like a serious drama that just happens to be evolving a mutant. The people behind it were some of the people that helped make Fargo and some other FX, like, really high-quality series. And it looks really interesting, playing with his mutant ability and multiple personality aspect of the character. So I think it could end up being, like, the surprise hit in all this. It maybe open the doors to some new ideas, so... That I would advise checking out and seeing if maybe it will change your mind as well. And then before we get into the Marvel stuff or the DC stuff, did you guys also see the major news that DuckTales is coming back?
No.
Yeah. So they're.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're bringing back DuckTales. Took you long enough. So I'll send out a link to like the animation. The animation style is different. I guess it's gonna be on Disney XD. But yeah, they're bringing back DuckTales for a new generation. So the animation, I'm okay with. I get why they won't do it just like the classic version of it. But it does have me excited. I just don't know if they're gonna be able to top that theme song. How do you do it? So it'll probably be some really bad auto-tune version of it or something.
No, they'll get Fall Out Boy to do it.
I guess we can talk about the CW stuff. I don't know, Greg, if you watched that, because I know you're behind with some of those as well. But
I'm behind
Chuck...
on everything.
Yeah,
I'm just watching Incredible Hulk right now.
The first movie?
The Bill Bixby Lou Ferrigno. I got back around to watching that on Netflix.
Oh, okay. To be fair, that came out before we were born, so yeah.
Yeah, guys, there's this new character called Superman. It just came out. It's really awesome.
It's crazy. I feel he can leap tall buildings. I don't know why he can't fly. Eventually, maybe he'll fly. But funny thing is that they did just release a new image of Superman for the Supergirl TV show today.
Yes.
And he looks just like a Kmart version of Henry Cavill. So there you go. But I'm interested, Chuck, in hearing your thoughts about the different CW trailers. We had one for Arrow, I think Legends of Tomorrow, and definitely for Flash. So anyone have you more excited than the next?
Probably Flash, because it's the only one that I watched.
Which kind of tells you everything you need to know. So
right. I have a honest confession to make. I did not even finish the last season of Arrow. I think the last 3 or 4 episodes I did not even watch.
Oof, man, how far we have fallen.
Yes. I just could not care any less about Damian Dark and the crap that they were doing. It just, like, I don't know, I just had no interest in it whatsoever. I'll probably get around to watching those last 3 episodes eventually, but, and then Legends of Tomorrow, I stopped watching that halfway through the season, so I didn't get to check that trailer out yet. But or no, actually I did. I did see that one. I'm sorry. My mistake. But
it obviously left a major impression.
Right. That's what I was going to say. It didn't like really show anything. It was just like random highlights of them fighting and, the heat gun and the ice gun shooting different things. And I'm like, all right, this is, it's really not that exciting. It's like nothing really is going on here. So, but I did enjoy, the Flash trailer quite a bit. That's my number one DC show right now. I enjoyed, last season thoroughly. And, you know, the sort of the cliffhanger, the way they ended last season, completely caught me off guard. After all the things that Barry went through, you know, I thought he had sort of learned his lesson about time traveling and kind of like screwing with the timeline. And even if you hadn't done it yourself, I mean, just by watching Back to the Future, I mean, you have to realize that you can't screw around with it.
Come on. Well, I actually just rewatched that trilogy because it's on Netflix. And yeah, there are a lot of lessons in those movies.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Especially how to make a time machine out of a locomotive. So.
And put like you know, coffee grounds and eggshells in for fuel.
Yeah, I know, that'd be amazing.
And
that the Chicago Cubs were supposed to win the World Series last year, but didn't. So someone screwed something up someplace. So.
Yeah, somebody tore a page out of that sports almanac or something. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that totally threw me for a loop last year with the end of the Flash and you know, him kind of going back and changing something major, and now it's like they're kind of, you know, echoing the story Flashpoint, which is pretty cool. I'm excited about that because that's kind of what, you know, that story was, where, he saves his mother, and then there's all these huge changes, huge ramifications because of that. And I'm thinking he's just going to have to kind of spend the whole season kind of dealing with those. And I'm guessing, I think it's fairly transparent. Obviously, they're going to do a lot of cool stuff with it along the way, but I think in the end, he's going to realize all the relationships he lost with the other people, you know, maybe it really wasn't worth it. Maybe it was supposed to happen that way, but who knows where they're going. Cause they've thrown me for a loop a couple of times now, and the writers are really doing a good job of shaking things up there and keeping you on your toes. So
yeah.
I'm all in for Flash. I really, really enjoy that show.
My only worry with it is that if your entire season is in a parallel universe, does it get, I don't know. Like, do you lose something with that when you realize, like, these characters aren't the characters that you really care about, so can you be as invested because you're just waiting for everything to reset itself?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, and not only that, but you just feel like you're wasting time because if something gets undone, it's like that entire season was null and void.
Yeah, yeah.
So and you end up kind of like
back to square one where you were, almost like the season's kind of wipes itself out. And maybe it won't be the entire season, you don't know. It could be a few episodes, or they could, you know, if they're still good, they're still good. But that's my only worry, because I think alternate universe stuff works well for a few issues, for a comic book or like an individual story or miniseries or something like that. But like a 22 season television show, I'm not sure. I've never seen it done before, that to my knowledge. Don't even know that's what they're doing. But it also could be a way of how they bring in Supergirl with all this, and I guess we already know they're doing crossovers again, and so something's happening in some way, so we'll see.
Yeah.
They could open up the multiverse. There's a lot of different directions they can go, so I have not finished any of the CW stuff. I just fell behind. I stopped watching Arrow, and I think two seasons ago, and Legends of Tomorrow, I wanted to watch, then I started watching it, and it just the logic in that show got to me, so
yeah.
But Flash, I still enjoy it. I just fell behind and haven't been able to catch up with it.
Yeah. I didn't ruin Flash on you, did I?
No, I knew it was all happening. I saw the trailers and stuff like that. So I was well aware of it. I just haven't watched it. So
yeah.
I still don't know some of the stuff, like some of the secrets, but it's fine.
Yeah. I think this will be a good way for them to bring in like Wally West, which is what they're doing. That's going to be pretty cool. Which I saw a funny picture online where it's like, hey, like, remember that guy dressed in the yellow suit that killed your mom? Yeah, I'm your, you know, your best bud now, and I'm gonna wear the exact same like color costume. I'm like, yeah, you know what, that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense why anyone would do that, you know.
True. So all right, anything else around the TV realm? There was a trailer for the new American Gods TV show, which is based upon a Neil Gaiman book. And Greg, I know you read it, but I don't think you saw the trailer.
Yes, I did read the book.
did not watch the trailer, but I am very interested in seeing it since you told me about it at the beginning of the episode before we recorded. I am very interested in seeing that because the book was very well done. Don't remember much about it, but it's definitely one of those books that I when I have the time, would definitely go back to and read again. And maybe in the future I'll read that one when I run out of good reading material.
Yeah, and I have never read it, but maybe I will try to read it. And the series looks really good. It's on Stars, which kind of stinks because I don't have Stars. But, you know, it's figure out a way to watch it. Maybe it'll come on Netflix one day or something like that, or Amazon. But and the last thing I see in the TV is the Walking Dead trailer, which looks pretty good. I was happy that they didn't spoil the end of the last season because I felt like, how are you going to do a preview for the next season and not spoil the end of the way that it left, for those trying not to spoil it, but basically some people might be dying, you don't know who, and I'm like, yeah, well, it's going to be ruined once we see a preview for season whatever they're on. But they were able to get around that pretty well, though there were other major spoilers which I wish they didn't get to. But I don't know if Greg or Chuck, if you saw that at all.
Yeah, I did see it, and I kind of thought, like, you know, people would be like completely breaking down this trailer, analyzing it, like looking at who they're showing to see who survived. But they really didn't show anybody from that scene that was in question. So it kind of still leaves that ambiguity out there, which I think they did a pretty good job with that. You know, they kind of showed the other stuff with Morgan and Carol and stuff, like stuff where you sort of know, you know, they're alive and you know what's going on a little bit with them. But I really am excited about the addition of this new character, because I read a little bit about him earlier in this year, several months ago, and I was pretty excited about him and his pet tiger.
Oh, Ezekiel?
I think that is pretty awesome. I was doing like some research, thinking this was like back in like late winter, I think I was looking up stuff, and I don't read the Walking Dead comics at all, but I started looking into them a little bit just to sort of see where this might be going, because I'm kind of like itching to get to an ending now, like, as taboo as that may sound, because I do enjoy the show, but I'm kind of like, I want to see where it's going, like I want them to get somewhere with it. So I started like looking into it, and I started seeing this other character, King Ezekiel, and that he had this pet tiger, and I'm like, that is freaking awesome. Like, I'm going to love this guy already. it was cool. Like, when I saw him in the trailer, I saw the tiger roar and everything. That was like a cool moment for me. I'm super excited for that. But I was reading this thing where they said the tiger is completely computer generated, which makes sense, because they did not want to do a real tiger at all, because it was just too dangerous for the actors in all the scenes and everything. So every scene of the tiger is like completely computer generated, but they said, like, I think the look of it will even get better as it goes. This was sort of like a rough draft, even though it looked pretty good, but it's supposed to, you know, they're going to fine tune it. It's going to look even better and stuff. But I thought that was an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah. Makes sense, you know. Having a real life tiger would be kind of a headache with zombies and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, you'd be really confused and like, I don't know what's going on.
Unless you're, you know, Maximus Decimus Meridius from Gladiator, and you just don't even, you're not even scared by them. But
true. That's a good point. I mean, he would probably do well in the zombie apocalypse, I would think.
Probably would.
I was actually kind of surprised they went with that. I didn't think they would bring it in. Like, I'm like, would they go that far to bring in the tiger? Because I was curious, and they did, and I'm impressed. So
yeah, it was weird, because I wasn't sure that type of thing would fit in what they've been doing, but I guess they're gonna have a go for it.
Yeah, why not? All right, well, let's take a small shift over to the realm of film. There are a lot of different trailers to talk about, a lot of different news to talk about. Maybe, Greg, was there anything that really, in the movie realm, that you felt caught your eye and something you really were itching to talk about?
Yeah, I think we've seen the first trailer of it, and the second one doesn't disappoint either, and that's Wonder Woman with Gal Gadot taking up the role of Wonder Woman. And I think she's just freaking fantastic in it. I think I read on somebody's Twitter, I think it was Adam Hughes, the illustrator. He mostly works for DC, I think, but he does a lot of covers and stuff. A lot of great stuff. He came out with a Betty and Veronica comic last week or something. But he said it's not a good choice for Steve Trevor if Steve Trevor is prettier than Wonder Woman. I'm like, where the hell did he come with that from? Like, Gal Gadot is gorgeous, and Chris Pine is kind of derpy looking, if you ask me.
He's a little derpy looking, but not in a bad way.
He's very handsome, but he's still got a little derpy looking to him. And Gal Gadot is like gorgeous out of the box. But anyway, besides that, that looks fantastic. The cinematography looks great. The mood they're kind of setting looks awesome. And I think that Wonder Woman is going to be DC's first movie hit here now with trying to compete with Marvel.
Interesting. Chuck, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that movie's kind of, that's going to be their first home run, basically. I think everything I've seen, she was kind of the bright spot in Batman versus Superman. Batman v Superman.
I know, right? Seriously.
Batman, vagina, Superman.
So she was a bright spot in that. You know, both of the trailers I've seen, the teaser and this one, I've really enjoyed. I think, is it Gal Gadot or Gal Gadot? I don't even know.
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. Yeah, Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
I think it's Gal Gadot, but I have nothing to go off. She's French, so I would think that
she was Israeli.
Oh no, you're right. She's Israeli. So then I have no idea. She's French in the Fast and Furious films, which I guess is weird that they're not a stickler for realism in those. So yeah, I guess you're right. She's Israeli, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm like impressed with her acting just in the trailers. I think she's doing a great job compared to some other people. You know, one other character in particular I'll talk about later, but you know, I'm like totally sold on her as Wonder Woman. She looks great. She sounds great. You know, it doesn't look like it's too over the top. Looks like they're going to be pretty true to the character. You know, all that good stuff. So definitely can't wait for that one. I have coworkers at work. It's funny that some girl coworkers that have no interest in comic book movies at all. Literally, I don't think I've seen any of them. But they're like, oh, if you guys are going to see Wonder Woman, I want to go. So it's pretty funny. And I think it's pretty awesome. Like, not only for that to bring other people in, but just have the first like major female character out there with a lead role in her own movie, you know, for girls to look up to and stuff. I think that's going to be awesome and everything. So
I'll make it 3 for 3. I think if I was just to rank my favorite trailers out of everything for Comic-Con, I thought Wonder Woman to me was the best one. It looks so different. It almost doesn't even look like it has anything else going on when it comes to the other comic book movies or DC films. It looks very much its own thing. Doing a World War One superhero film, that to me is awesome. I think there's a lot of potential there, like how they're gonna, a lot of things you're having touch upon with that, and it hits her more mythical side as well, and how they're weaving that in. Even using a lasso. I wonder if they'll do the invisible jet. I guess we'll find out. But that I'm super excited for. It looks really great.
I heard the jet was a no go.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Because it makes no sense if the jet's invisible, but you can still see her in it. It's
right. That would just look
and
like
then,
a
plus
weird...
she flies already anyway. So
yeah. True.
It would just look like a weird like Family Guy joke or something with her flying in her jet.
Yeah, and it was interesting seeing how impressed I was with that trailer, and honestly how kind of let down I was with the Justice League trailer. I don't know what your thoughts were, but you know, this is Justice League. This is seeing them come together. This is their big moment, and for me, it felt like them trying very hard to fight against the criticisms of Batman v Superman by saying like, "Hey, look, we're funny." It was weird to me seeing Batman or seeing Bruce Wayne, like his, he just seemed off. Like some of the humor just didn't work. I also, it kind of bugs me that he would show up to the Flash as Bruce Wayne and not Batman. Like giving out your secret identity already seems kind of whatever. But hey, that's beyond the point. But the humor didn't work.
They don't protect it as much in the movies. You know, they're more cavalier with it.
So. True, true. I did think some of the stuff with Aquaman looked cool. Like there's that one image of him standing and there are like two waves come crash into him, which I thought looked great. But overall, I thought Cyborg looked awful. Like this, that can improve with time. I still think the movie can potentially be good, but for something that's meant to be Justice League, it felt to me very underwhelming.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys thought.
I agree. I think Aquaman looked great. I think they did a good job of selling Aquaman as a tough character and not, you know, living up to his sort of lame reputation that he somehow has. But, you know, he's actually like a super strong character and he's legitimate force to be reckoned with. But I think they're sort of doing a good job with Jason Momoa portraying that. But the one I alluded to earlier was the guy that's playing the Flash. And I think, like, I don't know what it was about that scene. There were a lot of good things about the scene. Don't get me wrong. I like the slow motion aspect of it. You know, when Bruce throws the batarang, I like the facial expressions of you kind of watching him, you know, his first instinct is to dodge it. And then he realizes that he just gave his secret identity away. And then he kind of says, oh, well, forget, I don't care. And then he wants to keep the battering. Like, that was really cool. But I just feel like the guy was kind of overacting the scene a little bit, maybe particularly where he was saying friends and stuff like that. And it just, I don't know, it just seemed off. Maybe I'm being too nitpicky. I'm not sure, but that just sort of seemed off. I wasn't crazy about his acting in that scene. I hope that's not sort of a foreshadowing of how he's going to be, but willing to give him a chance, but I hope that sort of improves. I don't like overacting on things, you know, just keep it simple. Let your facial expressions sort of give some emotion, you know, keep the dialogue to not a minimum, but you know what I mean? Just don't go like,
you're a part of the Clint Eastwood acting thing. He always had a thing where he'd go through his dialogue and like put lines through excessive dialogue and just like cross it off and just keep it to the bare minimum.
Yeah. I mean, there's instances where you would need that, but I think for the most part, I do line up with that a little bit, but
Did anybody
else think that about that scene?
No, I didn't really get overacting from him. Although I thought he was fine. Honestly, I thought the scene itself was a little awkward, but I chalked it up more to the writing of it, and I wasn't the hugest fan of the slow motion, like kind of lightning effect. I just, you know, I guess it's hard because we've had so many speedsters. You've had the Flash TV show, you've had Quicksilver twice, and that one to me just, I guess, like, I feel like having lightning every time that he is using his powers might get a little overdone. But to me, Ben Affleck felt more awkward in that than Ezra Miller. He just, like, he didn't feel really like natural of like having that. He was trying to be jokey and it just didn't really work as well. But I thought Ezra Miller had a pretty good, when he like gets in there and he's like, well, that doesn't really explain why you're in my room. But yeah.
And by the way, like, I guess more to your point, shouldn't Batman be like intimidating and like almost like scaring these people? Because that's how he's in the comics most of the time, where like people are kind of like scared of him. And it, like, it's not like he's going to show up and say, hey, what's up? I'm going to get some people together to hang out. Like, you want to do it? Like, that's not how he would do it. Like, he's going to be intimidating. Like, somebody's going to be kind of like scared of him. Even if you have superpowers, you're going to be kind of like, whoa, like, what the hell does this guy want? Like, this is pretty crazy, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's where it felt to me they were trying to fight against that criticism of them being tonally too dark, so they're trying to be more comedic. But I don't know. For me, the negative aspects were, like, the Flash to me was one of the better things. The thing that really stood out to me were, like, how awful Cyborg looked, and the CGI just looked really out of place. Like, which, again, it's early, so that can look better as they get more time to work on it. So,
yeah, I do agree the Cyborg looked pretty terrible, but I think the Flash was the biggest disappointment for me in that.
Greg, do you have any thoughts on the Justice League trailer?
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't anything great for me. I agree with you, Dan, that I felt like Ben Affleck as Batman felt a little off in the Flash scene there. I didn't think Flash was overacting. That's my personal opinion. I like that they're adding just a little bit of humor. I'm not sure that it's well placed or that some of the dialogue works. I thought him saying that the Flash saying that he has no friends was kind of awkward and weird. I agree that Bruce should be, Batman should be intimidating and kind of go in with his bat suit on and kind of like pop in from the shadows and kind of do things and pop up unexpectedly on people and do things that way. I definitely agree with that. But yeah, it was just kind of a mess, I think. Not as big as mess as Batman vagina, yeah. Superman, but
I did like the little like chemistry you see between Bruce Wayne and Wonder Woman. They still seem to kind of have a little thing going, which I hope they kind of build upon that. I think part of it too, the reason why I just felt underwhelmed is there's a big piece missing in the Justice League trailer, of course being that of Superman, and I guess, you know, that we'll see that how it goes in the film, but maybe they're trying to hold off on spoiling that, even though it kind of already did in the end of the movie. It just, you know, this is the big thing. This is your team, this movie. This is, you know, it hard not to compare it to the Avengers trailer when I first saw that and didn't have it for me for whatever reason. But switching over to the Marvel stuff, I know a lot of their stuff was not online. We did get a few access to other things. And Chuck, you saw, and then I saw too, the little bit of the, I guess I don't even want to call it a trailer, but the little teaser of Thor Ragnarok. What were your thoughts on that?
Yes, that was pretty cool because I'm not sure actually how long that one was up, because usually most of the time, like, this was sort of a bootleg thing that someone took with their camera and they threw it up on YouTube, and, you know, however long it lasts before they take it down, it's like, you know, if you don't get to see it, you're kind of SOL. But I just happened to sort of stumble upon it, really, and usually I have bad luck with these things, but I saw it and I'm like, wow, seriously? And I clicked on it and I was able to watch it. I sent it to you guys immediately, but I thought it was pretty cool. You sort of get a little shot of, you know, the Hulk is on Asgard. He's kind of in the woods and you see him sort of like losing his shit. And he's kind of like, you know, flailing around and you see his eyes turn green and everything. That whole thing seems interesting to me. You see like some other characters, like a couple of Warriors 3 sort of fighting in this battle. On horseback and stuff like that. So all that stuff is pretty intriguing to me. I'm anxious to see where they go with that, especially because they revealed a picture. I'm not sure if you guys saw of the armor that Hulk will be wearing. Sort of,
oh yeah, I did see that.
The yeah. Planet Hulk version. So I'm like excited about that. I think they showed like a helmet, you know, like the Roman gladiator style helmet with the Mohawk thing, and they, you know, the one piece of armor for the arm, and I think there was like a shield or something like that. They didn't show it with him wearing it, but they had it at the con, I believe. It was like in a showcase or something like that. Seeing that stuff and maybe seeing him in some kind of a gladiator tournament style thing really has me excited.
Yeah, the trailer didn't show much. Like you mentioned, like, you see him come to the planet, he turns and you see some of the other warriors. So I think it looks like, you know, it could be cool. I was thinking, oh, is he supposed to be the main villain of it? But I guess no, they are having an actual villain playing by Carl Urban, who, of course, is of Judge Dredd fame. So I am excited, though, knowing that he's going to have the Planet Hulk stuff. And it feels like they're kind of doing a meshing of both Planet Hulk and Thor Ragnarok. And I love the logo for Thor Ragnarok. It looks like almost like an 80s metal band, but in the best way possible. So that does look pretty cool. So
yeah, it kind of looks like a little bit like a Metallica thing.
Yeah. And then were there any other trailers you guys wanted to talk about?
They released a second trailer for Doctor Strange. I'm not sure if you guys were able to see that.
I did watch that one. I felt like it was just kind of more of the same of the first one, but a lot more M.C. Escher stuff going on.
Yeah. Honestly, for me personally, after seeing that second trailer, I'm not sure I'm going to enjoy this movie, Doctor Strange. I don't know. It seems like it's really out there. It's like really psychedelic, funky stuff with cities folding in on itself. Like, I doubt that's going to be the whole movie. Like, I highly doubt that. I think it's interesting that they're showing so many of those parts in the trailer. Because it's like, maybe it's just me, but that's kind of like annoying to my eyes. Like, I don't want to keep watching that. Like, I don't know why they keep putting that in there. But if there's a lot of that type of stuff in the movie, this might be the one that I really start to kind of question my trust of Marvel, because I'm not sure that I'm really going to enjoy that movie too awful much, but we shall see.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite of that, because I actually ended up really liking the Doctor Strange trailer. I love what they're doing with it. I love that it feels very different from everything they've done up to this point, because I feel like they had their certain style and they've kind of hit a wall in a way when it comes to that visually. And this to me is opening up brand new doors. For me, it was like a feast for my eyes. I loved the look of it. I loved just the kind of creativity that was behind all these different universes things that they were creating, and Inception to the like nth degree type of things that were going on. It was, you know, intense. It was a lot, but I don't know. I thought it looked great, honestly, and I feel like the first trailer left me like, I thought it looks good, but I don't know. I thought my interest in it really increased after the second trailer. I just think it's going to be something a little bit different from them. Like, I felt like with Thor, they didn't go far enough with it. But I feel like with this, they're just going to, you know, let loose and go crazy, which I'm actually kind of excited for. So, all right, any other trailers, any other news people wanted to bring up and talk about?
I know they did a second Suicide Squad trailer.
Yeah.
Not sure how you felt about that. That one was, I guess in a way, kind of like the Doctor Strange trailer for me. I was sort of less excited after seeing the second one, for whatever reason.
I don't think it was as good as the one they did with the Queen.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I agree.
It's definitely a step down. So now I'm kind of like questioning if I'm going to land like that one or not, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what's going on.
I still think it looks good. Almost felt unnecessary because it didn't seem like it really gave me anything that to further excite me for the most part. I guess it's further kind of explaining what they're doing in a way. I don't know, but I'm actually quite looking forward to Suicide Squad. I've liked everything up to this point to a certain degree, But yeah, I agree that they kind of hit their stride with the last trailer, and they kind of just could have left it there and been fine with it. So
yeah,
there were some comic book news. Like I was searching high and low to see if there was actually any comic news at Comic-Con, and there wasn't really much. A lot of the stuff was already announced or being announced later. But I did see that IDW and DC announced that they're having further crossovers. They're going to be doing another Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossover. But this one looks a little bit more, I guess, cartoonish than the last one. And then they're also doing a Green Lantern Star Trek crossover again. So IDW continues to kind of push forward a lot of these different crossovers with different companies. So, but I didn't really see anything else in the realm of comics. I don't know if other movie stuff came to you guys' mind. There was the King Kong trailer looked decent and some other stuff, but you know, there's a lot to get.
Yeah, that
to.
One I kind of actually wanted to mention.
What were your thoughts on? Thoughts on that?
I'm pretty excited about that, to be honest. The King Kong trailer. I'm excited about Tom Hiddleston being in there. I think he'll do a great job. I'm interested to see. You know, this King Kong is supposed to be like bigger in size. It's supposed to be a larger scale. So, I'm kind of curious how they're gonna, you know, make that work. And, I mean, from what I heard, I'm not sure if this is still the case, but. I think down the road they're kind of shooting for a crossover with Godzilla. Not sure if that's still happening, but I think that's kind of why they went with like a bigger version of him, maybe.
Yeah, that's what from what I heard. Like, they're doing this, and Gareth Edwards was on track to direct that, the guy who did Godzilla, but then he left. But they're still planning on it eventually having that crossover.
Yeah. I'm hoping that you get to see King Kong more in the movie than we saw Godzilla in his movie. It was only like three scenes, so I'm hoping you get to see a little bit more of the monster, which I thought they were kind of going to be a little bit more mysterious with it, but you get a couple of pretty decent looks at him, so that was pretty cool. I'm actually really intrigued by that for some reason.
Yeah, I guess there's only so many ways you can make a monkey big gorilla look, so it's like you can't really play with his style as much as you can with something like Godzilla, I guess. But yeah, I'm excited about that. That looks good. And I think the benefit of that over something like Godzilla is that it's cast. Well, I thought Godzilla's cast was pretty strong, and that didn't end up happening. But with Tom Hiddleston and Samuel L. Jackson and some of the other actors, it looks like it'll be good. But there were some other Marvel news. I don't know if you guys saw that Guardians of the Galaxy. They didn't announce that Ego the Living Planet is going to be in the villain, I guess, for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, cool.
Yes, I did see that.
And apparently voiced by Kurt Russell.
Yes, and apparently he will be Star-Lord's father.
So somehow his father is a planet. So
yes.
I'm guessing it's going to be somehow related to the Infinity Gems in some way.
They, from what I've heard, Thanos isn't supposed to be in this one at all.
Really?
Which I find kind of weird, like, because, I mean, maybe they're just blowing smoke right now, but like, I find that extremely weird because I don't think it's a smart move to, like, have people forget about him. Like, I think he should kind of be leading up to Infinity War a little bit more. Like, I think he should be revealing a little bit more about him. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're going to do all that in the two parts of the movie that they have. But I don't think it's a smart move to kind of let people forget about him. So not having him appear in the second Guardians at all, I'm not too happy with that. Also because I love the character as well, but I was kind of disappointed to hear that. Hopefully it's just a smokescreen and they will have him in there somehow.
Yeah, that would seem kind of weird, because how's Infinity Gauntlet or Infinity War going to work? I guess they're changing the name, so maybe that's why, but it feels like they were building up that storyline, but they haven't really progressed it since the last Guardians film, really. I mean, that's the last time we really saw anything of Thanos, so.
Yeah. Well, the end scene of Age of Ultron, I guess.
Oh, that's true. That was, he was in that. I remember, like, he did the I'll Do It Myself, but I thought that was Guardians, but you're right, that was Age of Ultron, so.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe there might be an appearance in the Doctor Strange movie. They might kind of throw everybody off kilter and just have him show up in there, I don't know.
It's supposed to, it's supposed to introduce the idea of the multiverse to Marvel, so.
Okay, yeah, that could be a definite possibility.
Yeah, so. All right, well, anything else you wanted to bring up before we bring this episode to a close?
Not really. Just the Marvel Legends I was excited about, so, Hasbro's taking more of my money, which isn't cool.
But anyone's come to mind that you feel like you're definitely going to be picking up?
I think the X-Men wave looks really cool. They have a Jim Lee 90s Cyclops, which looks amazing, and a lot of people have been wanting that one for a long time. And they also have the classic look of Sunfire, which is one that I've been hoping for a long time in particular, so I'm definitely looking forward to picking that one up. And also Polaris, Magneto's daughter, in her green outfit, you know, with the green cape and the green hair and everything. So that's one that's been on, like, some of the sites I go on, like, they have, like, lists of, like, the most wanted figures and people vote on them and stuff like that. And Polaris is one that I've seen consistently at the top of the list for, like, years and years now.
Really?
So I think, like, yeah, so I think a lot of people are pretty excited that figure's getting made finally, so.
Well, none of guess Polaris had that much popularity of a character, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure why, but, I mean, it's weird too, because the Build-A-Figure for the wave is Warlock.
Really?
Not Adam Warlock, but just Warlock from the. I can't think of the name of the story. The.
Well, he's in New Mutants. He plays a big role in New Mutants.
The Phalanx Covenant thing, you know, it's kind of that race, but he was like one of the good guys that was working with X-Men, but I'm not really interested in that, so I don't even know if I'm going to get that whole wave to build him, because I'm not too interested in that, but...
Man, they're really running out of building figures if they're Warlock. That's not interesting.
And Colossus is in the wave, and I'm like, why didn't you just have Colossus as the builder figure? Like, I don't know.
How's the Colossus look?
It looks pretty good, but it's I think it's one of the newer costumes, because it's one I don't really recognize. I was really hoping for a classic Colossus look, but like from the 90s. But you know, I guess they're gonna. There's been a couple of those, so they kind of want to have some variety and get different costumes out there and stuff. So,
yeah, interesting. Alrighty, well, we'd like to hear what you had to say about Comic-Con. What trailers stood out to you? Does Doctor Strange look better or worse? We kind of differed on that. You can do so by commenting on our episode post by going to geekcastradio.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, TCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
I am at The Crate Forge.
And I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed, but for now.
This has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or Doom the Skype Troll.
And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week. Doom the Skype Troll. That sounds like a character from the next episode.
It sounds like a character from Skyrim.
There you go. The question is, what takes longer, playing that game or watching the entirety of Game of Thrones back to back with the extended editions of Lord of the Rings in there? Just for fun.
With Skyrim.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Skyrim. since I don't have another story, sorry, I've been lazy again. Let me read off the rest of this thing. I think we left off with her trying to give me the link to the site. So I'm at, I'm sure it's free and so are the computer viruses. Doom. Yes, babe, the credit card is for age verification for me to be a premium member and give you free access. They have to know you're over 18. Just click the accept invite button on the left side of the page. It's 100% free to join. Me. Oh, wow. Called it almost verbatim. Doom. If you go there, it'll have my profile pic, but once you hit accept, it will display my camera to you. Wink. Me. So how does this program you use work? Doom. After you're in, let me know your username so that I can add you to my friends list. Me. My username is urdbagcomputer69. All one word. Doom. Jennifer, just call me Jenny. Me, Jennybot 5000. Doom, okay. Me, so how many people do you convince to actually go through with this? And I have not gotten anything back yet, so.
Just calculating the amount of people. It's like 1,854.